Let's pick up tonight in the book of James and go ahead and turn to the letter that we find in our Bible right after the book of Hebrews. You find the book that we call James, and then on page 320 and at the very bottom of page 320. Remember that James is a little bit more like a sermon than a letter, so there's going to be some topics he hits on really hard. And last week, if you remember, we looked at two of these, and you can kind of see it up here now. Number one, James talks about your temper, right? Remember, be slow to speak and quick to hear. And that is especially true when you're angry, right? And he speaks of that in the next verse with, or the next part about anger. And then we looked at another huge topic in the book of James, being your mouth and what you say. So he refers to that in chapter 3. As your tongue. So those are the first two that are the book focuses on with getting a grip, right? Self-control. So I'm going to put these back up here from last week. Your temper, being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to becoming angry, and then your tongue, being careful what you say. And remember, over and over in the book of Proverbs, there's, oh my goodness, there's all kinds of proverbs in there about your tongue, your speech, and things you say, and it can get you into trouble. So let's look at the third one. And we'll finish this section down here at least tonight. So the next topic that they point out for the study is to control your desires. And what they're getting at with that, and you'll see this in the verses in just a minute, control your desires, and you do that by praying, but when you pray, ask God for things with the right motives. There's a big difference in asking God for things and asking God for things with the right motives. And so the way I see it, you can actually be sinning in your prayers if you're not asking with the right motives. And sometimes, man, sometimes we do feel like, you know, we're praying and praying and praying. It's like, does God hear? You know, where is he at? And for me, I like to take some, you know, kind of like some inventory, self-inventory. And Lord, is there something here I'm missing? Is my thinking wrong? Or my motives wrong? Is there something here I'm missing? So let's look at what he says. And this is going to be in chapter 4 in the first few verses. Now, in my translation, the heading under chapter 4, they put things to avoid. That's an interesting way of starting this chapter, is it not? So here's what James says, Holy Spirit leading him, inspiring him, breathing out God's word through James. And he asks the question, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Now, he's probably talking here about believers, right, inside the church. Did you know that churches can have conflicts? And there can be quarrels, and it can get very ugly at times. Remember I told you that's why you have, like, Harmony Baptist Church and 3 miles on the road, New Harmony Baptist Church, because there wasn't a lot of harmony there along the way. So what is a source when things don't go well and you are fighting and quarreling, things like that? And he answers it with another question. Is not the source of those things your own pleasures that wage war in your, like yourself, right? Your bodies, your members. Then he goes a little more to the point in verse 2 and says, you lust and do not have, okay, like you greedily desire something and do not have, and so to get it, then you'll commit murder. And you're envious and cannot obtain, so then you'll fight and you quarrel, and you quarrel, and he says you do not have because you do not ask. So sometimes I think sometimes, you know, seeing God's hand at work comes down to the fact we just don't pray and don't ask him, but then look at the next verse. Because then somebody raised their hand at this point in the sermon. Somebody raised their hand. James says, you don't have because you don't pray and don't ask. And they raise their hand and say, well, I promise you this. I've been praying. He ain't done nothing for me. And James says, well, hold on. Let me finish my thought. So verse 3. So yeah, you're praying and you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. So self-centered, selfish prayer like that, I don't think I can say that God answers your prayers if you're praying in a very self-centered way with motives that are not right before him. So this is another point. The desires, they use the word lust and greedily, things we want greedily. We control those. We ask God for things, but we ask with the right motives. So there's a little bit there to chew on as you study a little deeper about on that topic. All right. Anything on that quick little thought that James puts in here that stands out you want to ask about or add to? All right.
Something, Keith.
Yes.
My Uncle Danny is a great man of God, and he says, Jesus changes your want to.
Uh-huh.
Jesus
man.
Changes your want to. So people say, well, I don't want to submit my life to Christ because I won't get to do what I want to do. Mm. But Jesus changes your want to. And so a lot of times my prayer is that song. I think it might be Psalm 191. Change my heart, O God. Mm-hmm. Just make it ever true. Mm-hmm. Because I want these things, and I don't even trust what I want.
Uh-huh.
But just change my heart and help me want what you want.
That's the second time I've heard that in prayer. Where we were before we came here, it's been a while now, wow. But there was a peanut farmer in the church, a good guy, and he was in the choir. And he would open in prayer on Sundays. And he literally, and this, it's public, just praying. And he would look out there and see so many people who weren't in church that should have been and could have been. And that was his prayer, as a church. Lord, will you change our want to? I never forgot that theological term, the want to, mm-hmm. that desire, So the want to's or desires. Sometimes we don't get what we desire if our motives are not where they ought to be. So anything else with the want to's or desires? All right, so look at the list so far. He's got some teaching and principles regarding our temper, regarding our tongue, regarding our desires. And now the fourth one at the bottom, oh no, look at that word, control your pride. James was on a roll when he wrote this book, was he not? So here's what James gives for instruction when it comes to pride. And we'll look at the verse in just a minute. So, control your pride by submitting to God, by humbling yourself, and by not boasting. Now, let's look at the verses and see where they're getting these from. These are very good, clear verses. Good principles. Just like the temper part, the principle there. So in chapter 4, verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what's the key word there? The submitting, right? It's yielding to what God's will is, right? And what he demands, with our living and our following after him. So submit therefore to God. And it's a resistance there with the devil. And he says, as you submit to God, Satan will flee in that moment, right? And so put that into practice. We can come back to that in just a minute. And then in verse 10, so we got submitting to God when it comes to pride. Number two is that humbling of ourselves. So in verse 10, as he speaks, really it builds off of verse 6, where it talks about giving a greater grace. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. I don't have a problem really with people being exalted. What I have a problem with is when they exalt themselves. Proverbs 20, I think. I want to say around verse 7. But it says, let another praise you and not your own lips. I don't care if you speak highly of someone, exalt somebody. That's fine. Whatever, their faithfulness. But don't do it yourself, right? Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. He will exalt you. And then dealing with pride in verse 16, well, really verse 13, the not boasting part. Oh, I love these verses. I love clear teaching. Look in verse 13. Think about pride. Okay, come along, or come now, you who say, today, tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city. We're going to spend a year there, engage in business, and make a profit. We've got a plan. Nothing wrong with planning, but don't leave God out of your planning because He calls the shots last time I checked. So this is what people, what they're thinking, like, I can do what I want to do, make my plans, engage in business, I'm going to kick back and relax, whatever. And yet James says, hold on just a second, let me remind you of something in your prideful attitude. You do not know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. Why do you boast about tomorrow in your plans? You ain't got a clue if you'll even be around tomorrow. And I'm not, it doesn't fit exactly, but understand, even today, like with this shooting, I promise you, when parents dropped off their kids this morning, I promise you, they had no idea, for those two in particular, and then the other 17 now, I think, in the hospital, had no idea that their lives and their world, I mean, was going to be turned inside out in a moment this morning. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. And now look what he says. This is crazy. You are just a vapor. Appears for a little while and then vanishes away. There are several times in the Bible you will find this teaching that we are nothing more than a mist that dissipates. I mean, that's how short and how fragile life can be. So just a little while, and then it just vanishes away. I'll tell you the greatest example I've seen of this, and this is like my grandfather on mama's side. This just blows me away. Knowing where he lived, the house, the wood shop, acres of garden. You drive by there right now, there is not one bit of evidence he ever lived there. New house, no workshop, no garden. There's no... Now look, that's the way we all... Now, you might be famous. Maybe we'll put your name in an encyclopedia article or something like that. But the point is, for the most part, we're gone. Let a generation or two pass. You won't ever even be remembered anymore. You know? So James is just being real here, right? Okay, you're just a little... You're a vapor. You're up here for a little while and you vanish away. And he's building to a point. So instead of saying, hey, we're going to do this tomorrow and make a profit and et cetera, et cetera. Instead of saying that, verse 15, which you ought to say, now watch this, here's a big difference. If the Lord wills, then we'll live, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll make a profit. If the Lord wills, right? Now that's a difference in being proud and humble, right? I'm making plans, but Lord, this is all under your sovereign umbrella here. This is not me, myself, and I, and me calling the shots. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting, that's evil. James, I'm glad he only did this sermon one time, because I don't think he would have lasted much longer once they got this one. So look at what he's doing now. Your temper, your tongue, your desires, asking with the wrong motives, and now he hits on pride, humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand, not being very arrogant. To me, these are some pretty heavy matters. So here's what I would say. When you look at just these four items that the author pulls out of the book, in my opinion, all four of these are areas of our lives where we need God's help. I don't think any of... Remember, James says nobody can tame the tongue. We all say things we wish we hadn't, or say them in ways we wish we hadn't said them. We know sometimes we do indeed pray, and it's not the right motive. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's human nature. God, forgive me for that. Oh, my goodness, yes. At times, I don't keep that nice, balanced temperament. Right? And, oh yeah, sometimes I do make my own plans and I think about how good I am and what's going on, and I can leave God out sometimes, I can. So in my opinion, these are four areas where we just need God's help. And what I tell people, if truly, like you look at something like this in the book of James, like, Lord, I struggle so much with, and you fill in the blank. Man, I would make that a matter of prayer. I met with somebody not too long ago with a temper issue, anger. And I flat out, I told the person, I said, I'm glad you're going to counselors and people like that. But I said, from a spiritual perspective, here's where I want you to start. I said, have you prayed much about it yet? I can't fix it for you,
But I'll tell you this, a therapist can't either. I said, pray about it first. Lord, and confess, Lord, right now, I just sinned. I'm angry right now with this, whatever. I just sinned. God, help me. That's, I mean, honestly, just calling out, right? So if you look at a list like this, it's like, Lord, I struggle so much with whatever the particular thing may be. Turn to Him, right? Seek His help. James writes this more like a sermon than like a letter. And so when you read through James, you ought to be convicted. You ought to be like, duh, that hurt. I wish he hadn't put chapter 3 in there. I'd been okay if it weren't for that. Or I wish he hadn't put chapter 4 in there. I'd been okay if it weren't for that. Well, it's a good sermon. That's kind of what it is. Okay. All right. Give me what you think. Anything with this before we wrap up.
Remember what Christ said about the rich man that had the barns were so full?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to try him down tomorrow and build bigger ones. Tonight, fool.
You fool.
It's going to be taken.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Anything else on these four principles or four points that James brings out? We got through the get a grip on yourself with the self-control part. We're going to finish up James and hopefully next week. And we're going to look at probably another significant portion of the letters in chapter 2 where he talks about how faith and works work together. And so we'll look at that next week and hopefully finish up James. That's the plan.